Amen. Everybody say amen? Good to see our visitors this morning, and thank you guys, some folks coming back. So, amen, amen. So we're going to be in Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 3 through 6. It says, I thank God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's pray over God's word here. Father, we just thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, for this time together. But we do lift up Miss Yolanda again. Father, we just agree together that she'll be healed. Whatever's going on with her, she'll guide the nurses and doctors. Father, we pray for our missionaries. Thank you for the offering of the Annie Armstrong money that's coming in through the garage sale and through the bike-a-thon, Lord, that we can help and do our part in supporting home missions, the North American Mission Board. Lord, we pray for our military. I always want to remember to do that. Protect them, keep them safe as they go about around the country during this crazy times. Father, we pray for our leaders. Father, we just pause for a minute. All of our hearts focus on, Father, just pray for our leaders of our country, that you give them wisdom and guidance and direction, that you help them make good decisions. Lord, help me this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Everybody said amen? Amen. Okay, Philippians. So, this message is entitled, God is Crazy About You. God is crazy about me. Now, this may seem a little goofy, but I want you to do this. I want you to say this out loud with your mouth so that your own ears can hear this out loud. Don't let your pride get in the way, all right? So say it out loud. God is crazy about me. One more time. He is. All right. How many of you this morning has an unfinished project waiting at home? You can go ahead. He starts laughing. That's funny. Go ahead and raise your hand. If you have an unfinished project at home and you just hadn't got a chance to get to it yet. I think most of us do. Most of us have, for sure. Something that we kind of start and then we lose our passion for it and say, get to it later. And then it's, you know, there it is, right? I think this is a human nature kind of thing. I think we all do this, especially if it's something that, you know, we really kind of don't want to do. Maybe we should, maybe we shouldn't, that sort of thing. But I think most of us get started on odd projects and get distracted. We lose our motivation. Maybe we can call losing our passion for that thing that we started and didn't finish. This morning I want to remind you of two very important things. I'm really looking forward to this message this morning, and I pray for all of you. I try to, throughout the week. And then there's some of you that God really puts things on my heart to pray for you about. Even sometimes, you know, I'm studying and getting the message together, and I go, man, this is just what she needs. This is just what he needs. And I get really motivated. You know, I see you walk in the door, I'm like, yes. And then when I see you not walk in the door, I go, That's why I got this goofy camera up here. I've had a lot of people ask me to record the messages, and y'all know me. I've kind of bucked against that for a long time because I don't like hearing my country self, but I got to get over that. That's just pride, isn't it? So all of Lynn's family, most of them, you know, listen to the audios out in California, you know, and so we'll see how long I can do this. Amen. But two very important things this morning is God is going to finish what He started in you. And that God is crazy about you. Jamie, God is crazy about you. He really is. He loves you. And this truth, I kind of like getting this out, I should have saved this to homecoming or something. Maybe I would have to preach or something. Like, maybe we'll find somebody this year. The truth is also applies to the Pauline Baptist Church. You guys believe that? God is going to finish what He started in 1899. And really, the way I feel in my spirit now, the way I feel in my heart, is I think He's getting started. He's just getting started to really see and fulfill what God has the plans for this church body. You guys have done great things over the years. Amen. Many people got saved. Amen. Discipled, loved on by some of you folks. Hang on. Hang on. This morning I want to encourage you to start looking at yourself through God's eyes. Okay? To see how much God values you. Because He's crazy about you, Amy. He's crazy about you. If you're in here this morning and you've been down on yourself, and we're all old enough to understand what that means, right? Even teenagers, you know, if you've been down on yourself this morning, I hope that this plants a seed in your heart to begin to really focus on what God says about you. What is God's truth? What does His Word say about you if you're born again Christian? See, Paul was correcting the Corinthians because they started getting prideful about which one they're going to follow. You know, I'm going to follow Paul. We're going to follow Apollos. We're going to follow this cat and that cat. And these people would come in and do some discipling. So they started getting prideful about this. And I'm working on a message with that, so I kind of make sure I don't get tied up here. But Paul was correcting them. So that this is pride. And the bottom line is, Paul said this to them. Paul said, I don't care what you think about me. And really, this is the most profound part. Paul says, I don't even care what I think about myself. Don't let that one go over your head now. Paul said, I don't even care what I think about myself. Paul said, the only thing that he cares about, the only opinion that he cares about, is what God thinks about him. What does God think about you? You see, I'm convinced that when we take to heart, when we really take to heart, when we really accept what God says about us in His Word, we will be overwhelmed with His love. When we begin to see ourselves in His light, through His eyes, we actually start becoming childlike. We begin to see God as our Heavenly Father. Abba, Father, Papa. That's what it says in the Bible. And He loves us. And He loves you. And He's crazy about you. This morning I want to share three things. Everybody say three. I'm trying to wake you up. Three things, nah. Three things to remember as we talk about how God will finish what He started in your life. Amen? So if you're taking notes, here's the first thing. Remember God's great love for you and how He rejoices over you. God rejoices over you. Now, Jesus is telling a parable here, a story that describes the Father's love for you. This is Luke chapter 15, 8 through 9. Luke 15, 8 through 9. Let me read it. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me. Rejoice with me. I have found my lost coin." God spared nothing in His search for you. He gathered the greatest search party that has ever been formed in order to find you, in order to woo you, in order to call you to Himself. The Holy Spirit of God chased you down. Angels, God sent angels to encamp about you, even when you were children, to protect you and keep you safe and keep you from harm's way as much as possible. Some of us are hard-headed and didn't want to listen. Amen? The Holy Spirit moved on your heart. God's people prayed for you. Amen? I'm in here today because of Grandma's prayers. Grandpa's prayers, right? Some of you sit in this church right now, saved, born again. Yes, because the Holy Spirit moves you, but because Grandma and Grandpa's prayers, or your mom and dad's prayers. I know I am. I'm one of those. You will never really know how deep and how thorough and how costly God's search for you was. Amen? See, here's something. Listen to this. You do not belong to Him today because of chance or because of some accident. Oh, He was in the right place at the right time. Or some stroke of fate. That's not it at all. You are here because He never gave up His search until He found you and called you. Right? He poured out His grace upon you. You applied that faith that the Bible says that God puts a measure of faith in every human being. You look in that, it talks about Zoe. When your baby takes her first breath, Zoe, that's life. And in that first breath, that life, that Zoe is that measure of faith that every human being has the moment they take the first breath. They know deep down that there's a greater creator that created all this. That's why everywhere you go around the world, you see some kind of temple where they had this desire to worship something. Amen? I was lost, but now I'm found. How about you? Amen? Romans chapter 8, 32. Romans 8, 32 says, "He who did not spare," listen to this wording, "He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things?" God loves you. He's crazy about you, Gary. He's crazy about you. God rejoices because you are His. He rejoices over you as His child. And He's your Father, and He rejoices over you. Let that sink in. I don't repeat myself, but I really want it to sink in. Some folks have tough skin. I want it to sink in. How many of you as parents remember the day or days when you would, the kids are in bed, and before you went to bed, you just walked in there and opened up their door and just looked at them? Raise your hand. You know what I mean? You just looked at them. And your heart just rejoiced. They were asleep, you know. And you just looked at them. And you just had that joy in your heart, like, wow, this little guy's mine, man. Thank you, Jesus. This little girl right here is mine. I'm her mother. I'm her father. Anybody remember those days? This brought joy to you, didn't it? You want to rejoice. Your heart jumped because they're precious to you. They're precious to you. How much more does God rejoice over you? How much more does God rejoice over you, Indiana? You're His child. Amen. Point one, remember it. God rejoices over you. And it's not, everybody listen closely, it's not based on your performance. He rejoices over you not based on your performance. As I said earlier, it's all based on His grace that He is your heavenly Father. Point two. Point number two, if you're taking notes. God is working in you. God is working in you. If you're born again Christian, you place your faith in Jesus Christ, right? As your Savior. You believe in the death, burial, and resurrection. Feel the Holy Spirit. God is working in you. In our passage this morning, it talks about a good work that has been started in you. Now, this work that He's talking about specifically, listen closely, is God living in you, changing you, molding you, and using you for His good pleasure and ministry works, aka helping people, spreading the gospel, loving people through acts of kindness and goodness, right? We are a work in progress. God is going to continue working on me and you until Jesus cracks some clouds and comes back in the rapture. Amen? It's a lifelong process and a work. Now, some of you who like to get all your projects done right now, get it done, you might be struggling with this a little bit, you know. Anybody raise your hand? You know what I'm talking about? I know a few of you. But for some of us who don't mind kind of taking it easy and, you know, getting things done, maybe having several projects together, you might be okay with that. Let me give you a key. Here's one of the keys, a biblical key. Right, Mary Beth? It says, allowing God to change you, to mold you, to use you to help people, many times it can be a little painful. Some of you know what I mean. Try to help people. Oh, you know, sometimes it gets emotional painful because, you know, you do the wrong thing, you say the wrong things, right? They reject you, they make fun of you, all these crazy human things, man, we go through sometimes if you try to help people, if you try to talk to people about the Lord, right? But it's very rewarding. It's very fulfilling. I look at my sweet wife, and I did get permission from her to talk about this. But I look at my sweet wife, I'm not going to cry, and I see how God has done so much in her life. And He's did a miracle in my life. What you see today is a result of God working in my sweet wife's life. But you also see the result of Lynn allowing God to work in her life. See, most of you might not know, but she suffered, and I use the word suffered, with doubting her salvation for many years, worrying that she wasn't good enough to be a Christian. These false beliefs caused her to have feelings of anxiety and worry and fear. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. God slowly began to show her the truth. Everybody with me? God slowly began to show her the truth of God's Word. This all happened years ago. She'd been changing. She began to accept her new identity in Christ. Hear that one. She began to accept her new identity in Christ. She began to realize her past mistakes was not who she is. And she started seeing herself as God sees her. Please listen. She began to see herself as a daughter of the King, a new person in Christ, where all things have become new. She has accepted many years ago that God is crazy about her. And that He loves her. And that He has a special plan for her life. Amen. If you're in here this morning, I want to encourage you that God is crazy about you. And He loves you, and He has a great plan for your life. I don't care how young you are or how old you are. Right, Hank? He does. Hank and Finn, God is crazy about you. He loves you so much. Many Christians suffer because, and this is, I'm encouraging you. Now I'm going to step on your toes a little bit, okay? Many Christians suffer because of their unwillingness to grow beyond their salvation. And this growing beyond your salvation has everything to do with studying the Bible, not just reading it. Reading it's great, but really getting in there and studying the Bible, having a prayer life, not just blessed food, amen. And that they hang around like-minded Christian people. Amen? And they watch out what comes in their mind and their soul. Be careful what they listen to, they watch. They read, all this stuff. This is all part of growing. And I shouldn't promise you, but I do. I promise you, if you'll do that, that God will help you grow. He will help you become free and realize that God is crazy about you, John. He is crazy about you. God keeps His promises. He does. Point three. In life, we like to keep score, don't we? Anybody know what I'm talking about? You like to keep score. It's a human nature to keep accounts, Keep score. Who's winning? Who's losing? I remember when our grandson was playing soccer one time and I left work a little, you remember that? I left work a little early, I was to pay hire and picked up Lynn, up to Tifton to see the soccer game that was real important. I still got there about 15 minutes late, walked up to my son, they're all on the soccer field. I walked up, and the first thing I said was what? Who's winning? Where's Peyton and Carter? Who's winning? Guess what he said? They don't keep score. I kind of went off, man. I was like, what do you mean you don't keep score? That's ridiculous. And I went in that rant about everybody gets a trophy. You know how you do. Everybody gets a trophy. And finally, my son was like, chill out, Dad. It's cool. They're just learning. And they were like 4 or 5 years old or something. Man, I want them to win. I want them to win. So, you know, I worked through that one, you know. It was interesting. But if we're not careful, we'll bring this whole idea into our relationships. Don't keep score of how many times your husband didn't take the trash out when you asked him. Don't keep score. Right? Husbands, when your wife don't meet your expectations of, you know, cooking or whatever, don't keep score. The Bible says what? Love keeps no records of wrongs. Don't keep score. And you know what? Some of us, actually, if we're not careful, we can take this whole idea into our relationship with God. Most people rate themselves in relationships based on many things. Outward appearances. We compare ourselves to others. We look at worldly possessions and we compare and we, you know, and if we're not careful, that's where we end up getting our self-worth and our self-esteem from. And that is a dead-end road. If we're not careful, we create these checklists, these do's and don'ts, winners and losers, errors, mistakes, victories, failures. I love to win now, so don't get me wrong, but let's not take that into our marriage. Let's not take that into our relationship with God. Some people think, well, since this is how I function, is this how God functions? Does God rate us as a failure or a success? Now, I'm talking about believers here, right? I've qualified that a lot. And if he does, then what's his criteria? What do we got to do? You know, how many times a day do we have to pray? How many Bible tracts do I have to give out? How many doors do I have to knock? How much money do I have to give when it comes around? Tell me, what's the criteria? Most people have a real problem with this. I believe that not only do we apply unreal standards to ourselves to determine if we're a good Christian or not, but we also think somehow God judges us by that same kind of standard. That is just not true. What it does is we give ourselves a double whammy. It's not very professional, but I don't care. People often tell me this as a counselor. For some of you don't know, I'm a counselor. Anyway, counselor preacher. They say, Dallas, I'm not sure if I can live this Christian life. I'm not sure if I can do this. I'm not sure if I can live this Christian life. I always say, you're right. You can't. And they always look at me funny, you know. I'm like, and I even say, congratulations. You finally accepted that you can't live this Christian life. That's the first step to admitting that I can't do this. But I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, right? That Jesus can help me. Because see, if you're thinking like, I don't know if I can do this Christian life. I don't know if I can obey all these rules and regulations and do all these things right and get it all right. I'm not sure if I can do that. You can't. Go ahead and accept it right now. You can't. You can't be perfect. You can't get every dot right. You can't cross every T. You can't do it. Forget it. If you could... Everybody with me still? If you could live a successful, good Christian life, you wouldn't need Jesus. You wouldn't need Jesus. You wouldn't need God's grace and mercy and love. And you wouldn't need the Holy Spirit. You wouldn't need the Bible. Man, you can just be perfect and go down the road. As I was thinking about how God looks at me, I started asking myself, well, how do I look at my three boys? Lynn and I have three boys that all had a birthday last week. We have twins that are born on March 3rd. And one of their boys' sons was born on March 3rd. And then our youngest son is born on March 2nd. But Mr. Jerry, we got a lot of birthdays in March. They just turned 35. And our youngest son, can you believe that? 35. And our youngest son is 32. And we got 6.5 grandchildren. Got one on the way. Praise the Lord. Little boy. It's going to be awesome. I realize that when I look at my three boys and I look at our grandchildren, I don't judge them. I don't judge them if they're a success or failure based on their material things. Do you? If you do, you're wrong and need to repent. Amen? I don't judge them based on material things. And I know most of you don't, so I got a little passionate there, sorry. When it's all said and done, the only thing that really matters is, do they have a personal relationship with God? Isn't it, parents? You want them to do good in life and be successful and all that, but what really matters is, do they know Jesus? Are they saved? Are they washed in the blood of the Lamb? 3 John 1-4. And I'll close here. 3 John 1-4. It says, and this is one of my favorite verses, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Isn't that right, you parents? I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. That is such a blessing. You see, when the Father looks at you, everybody listen closer. When our Heavenly Father looks at you, He's not looking at your report card. He's not looking at your work schedule. He's not looking at your paycheck stub. He's not looking at your past victories. He's not looking at your past mistakes. He's looking at your heart. He's looking at your heart. Do you know Him? And 1 Samuel tells us that God looks upon a person's heart. So when God looks in your heart, what does He see? Is your soul washed in the blood of the Lamb this morning? Does God see you through the filter of the cross? Have your sins been washed away? Have you been created into a new person? Has those sins been cast as far as the east as the west into the sea of forgetfulness? If not, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. If you do know Jesus, then lift your head up high, my brothers and sisters. Lift them up high. Jesus already paid the price for your sin on the cross, and you are a child of the King. God Almighty lives in the sight of you. You are already a citizen of heaven. Think about that. Your name has already been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You have eternal life now. You will never die. Don't confuse you with your earth suit. It's just your earth suit. You've heard me say that before. So whatever's left with me, whatever's left with you, in regards to what God needs to change in your life, as we grow and grow, He promised that He would complete it. He would finish it. So whatever needs to go on in your life, God's going to work it out. You just hang in there. He is going to complete it. Why? Because He loves you. He is your heavenly Father. And He is a good, good Father. And He's what? He's crazy about you. He's crazy about you. So let's pray. Jesus, Lord, if there's someone watching on this video, I pray right now, if they want to give their life Christ to Jesus and make Him Lord of their life, they would just say, Jesus, I believe in You. I believe in the death, burial, and resurrection. Forgive me my sins and come into my life and save me. In Jesus' name. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ, the Bible does say today is the day of salvation. We're going to sing a song. And during that time, if you want to be born again, then I'll meet you down here at this altar and I'll be glad to pray with you. We can settle that today. In Jesus' name, amen.